No. Some of y'all, your eyes got real bright.
I don't ever.
Yeah, we could sing it again, couldn't we? Second Kings. This is one of the inspirations of that song. And it's not the inspiration. I could tell you the story, but I'm not going to take time. But it's one of them. If you look at... Now, I'm going to read a lengthy passage. I'm going to let the text preach most of this sermon, and I'm going to close it out. I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to show you. It's a long passage of Scripture. And I'll just start the story off in chapter 4, verse 1, down to verse 11. A Shunammite woman, and I hope I pronounce that right, in verse 1, she was a certain woman of the sons of the prophets under Elisha. And she felt for Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, so much that she built him a room on the side of her house. And so that when he passed by, he could stay in that little room. Had a bed, a table, that was it. And but she had put that in there. And so he could come in and lay on his way somewhere else. Well, it just so happens one day he comes through and he's laying down. And we start in verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, talking to his servant, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, in other words, 9 months, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. In other words, 9 months later, she had a baby. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. They're working in the fields. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now he's grown into a little boy. He goes out into his field, his day's working. He says, my head undoubtedly had some kind of aneurysm or stroke or something. In verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Boy, this story just gives me a chill bump. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. I want you to look at this shit and tell him why. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Why are you going? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. In other words, it's not time to make a sacrifice. And she said, it shall be well. She didn't say, my boy's dead. He said, where are you going? And he's up there on the prophet's bed. And she said, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It shall be well. That's by faith. That's faith there. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee. In other words, she said, go fast as you can lest I tell you to stop. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now wait a minute, her boy's dead. He's laying on the prophet's bed in the prophet's chamber. And she tells the servant, not the prophet, but the servant that the prophet sent, said, how's things with your husband? How things with your son? And she tells that servant, it is well, it's all right. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Somebody done that to Jesus one time, didn't they? But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. In other words, she's come here for help. There's something going on in this woman's heart, and the Lord hadn't told me yet. And usually he would know, but this time he didn't. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's reminding him of the story of her son's birth. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins. That means pick up that long gown and tuck it in your belt up there. We're fixing to go somewhere in a hurry. And take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. In other words, you go, you don't stop to talk to anybody. Nobody stops you to talk. You go, you take this staff, and you lay it on him. He's laying on my bed. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. What sounds again like Jesus, don't it? People told him that. The power of God does that. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. A staff's made out of what? What did they nail Jesus to?
Yes, God.
Look and live. Look and live. And they laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. In other words, he wasn't speaking or hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. The staff didn't do it, he said. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Now, I don't know how long it took her to get there, and I don't know how long it took her to get back, but I can tell you this, he didn't just pass out, and they didn't do CPR. This boy was dead. He'd been dead a while. And he laid upon his bed. And he went therein and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Who else did that one time? Jesus did that one time. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. In other words, life came back in him. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed. Now he laid on him, nose to nose, eye to eyes, hands to hands. Warmth came back. He went out of the room. He walked around. He came back. He laid on him again, and the child sneezed even seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Boy, can you imagine that? Have a little child that died. And when people ask you why the child was dead, how's it going? It is well. How's your husband? How's your child? It is well. Your husband asked you, where are you going? What you doing? It'll be all right. It'll be well. And then we sing that song, it is well with thy soul. I want to talk to you for just a little bit, and I want to ask you a question. Is it well? How about you? Is it well? Father, bless the reading of your word today. Help me as I preach. Don't have a whole lot to say, so I pray you'd inspire our hearts, our minds. There may be one here today who is spiritually dead, and they may need the wood of the cross of Jesus spiritually laid on them. They may need that eyes to eyes and nose to nose and mouth to mouth hands of the Lord Jesus to breathe eternal life into them today. There may be a saint here today who's struggling, having a hard time. Things don't look well. Brother Ron there in that hospital, Rayford over there in that hospital, others who are sickly, Mr. Mitchum, and Lord, things don't look well, but by faith we can say, if they know you, it is well. Because we're never going to die if we've applied you to our heart. Help us now, Lord, to be better Christians than what we came in, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think the story needs a lot of explaining. I really don't. The man of God representing the Word of God. And the Shunammite woman represents the sinner that's saved by faith, that honors God by honoring the man of God, and builds him a little room on the side of her house so when he comes by, the evangelists have a place to sleep. She didn't think about putting him up in some old Motel 6. She put him up in her house. Amen. She didn't think about him eating down at Hardee's. She fed him. Amen. And here's this woman that's made a relationship with this man of God. And he said, told his servant, said, go out there and told her, tell her, she's been so good for me, I want to do something for her. What does she need? Does she need me to talk to the king and get her in good with the king? Or maybe she needs me to talk to the governor or the mayor or somebody to get her in good with them. Maybe she's a slave or maybe she's a stranger in the land and she needs somebody to speak up for her. And she came back and she said, no, I don't need that. These are my people. I'm living among my own people. I'm free. He said, well, listen, about 9 months from now, you're going to have a baby. And she said, this is South Carolina translation, okay? She said, don't play with me. I'm an old woman. I can't have children now. It's past time. And she must have been because it says her husband was old. And he can't give me a child. Be serious. He said, I'm being serious. 9 months from now, you're going to have a son. And 9 months later, guess who showed up? A son. Can you imagine the love she had for that little boy? All those years she wanted a child, and now she's got one. And the love she probably put into that little boy. And he was still little, and he went out there to watch his daddy work in the field. And when he got out there, he had some kind of headache, and he told his daddy, my head hurts, you know. And who knows what it was, but whatever it was deadly. His daddy told him, said, take him back over to the house. And he took him back home. And when he got home, his mother, his dad by then, his mother laid him on the prophet's bed. Why'd she do that? Because the prophet gave him to her. God, through that prophet, gave that little boy to her. And I imagine she thought, well, by faith, that prophet had faith to give me a boy. I didn't have the faith, but he had the faith to believe that God could still give me a little boy, and God did. I'm going to lay him up here by faith. Maybe he'll give him back to me. And then she says, she goes tell her husband, said, look, I got to go see the prophet. And he said, what for? It ain't Sunday. It ain't even Wednesday. They ain't taking up no offering down there. What you got to go to that? She said, It's going to be well. Everything's going to be all right. You just sit there and watch the football game. I'll go on down there and see the preacher. And she told her servant, she said, look here, we're going to see the preacher. Don't stop for nothing unless I tell you to. And got over there and she told the man of God. And listen, the man of God sent his servant out there and said, there's that Shunammite woman. Go out there and see if everything's all right. Is it? And so he went out there and he said, how is it? And she said, it is well. Now, wait a minute, she just left a dead boy. She said, it is well. And then she gets up there to the prophet and says, how's your husband? How's your son? And she said, it's all right. It's well. Well, what I need, what you want me to do for you? My son's dead. I need you to help me. See, by faith, she thought, if I can just get to that man who has so much faith that he gave me a child in the first place, that same man can get to God and get my child back, because life and death are in the hands of God. And I need to get to somebody that knows God. Now that's great faith. When we have tragedy, when we have problems, we usually just whine and complain. We'll endure them. We will try to put on a good face, but you know, we don't always do that. And when people ask us, you know, how you doing? How's your back? Oh, my back's awful. Mine is, by the way. How's your legs? Oh, I can't hardly stand up no more. How's your eyes? I can't read a book. No, I'm. Well, how's your children? I don't know. They don't ever come around. I don't know. I can't. Well, how's your church? I don't know about church. But hey, this one wasn't like that. She wasn't like that. How's things going? It's well. Talk to somebody else. How's it going? Oh, it's well. How's your husband? He's well. How's your son? Oh, he's well. And by the way, he was. Either way, he was going to be well. He was either going to be well when he woke up in glory, or he was going to be well when the preacher woke him up here. Amen? She said, it is well. I think this is... Now, we point to the Proverbs 31 woman. That's the one everybody's going to talk about next week. By the way, I don't know anybody's ever met all those expectations. Some of you get real close. But I don't know if this woman met all those expectations or not. But I know what one kind of woman she was. She was a woman of great faith. Now you need to look at your mama sometimes, or your grandmother, and quit looking at her shortcomings and her failures and start looking at her faith. Amen. So I'll ask, there's three questions I want to ask you this morning. Number one, mother, is it well? Is it well with you? Preacher, what do you mean? Well, look at this woman. Look at the thing, what she's going through. Mother, whatever you're going through, you might have even went through the death of a child. But is it well still? It should be. If we have eternal life, we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't even believe in death anymore. We don't believe in death. We don't have funerals, we have graduations. We don't die, we move locations. We change addresses. We change bodies.
Thank you, Lord.
No other religion on earth preaches that. We believe in eternal life. I'm going to live as long as God lives, and God can't die. Mother, maybe you did have a loss. And I'm not making belittling that, and I'm not putting that down. And I'm not putting down the feelings. I imagine this woman had a lot of feelings. She had a lot of emotions. I'm sure she was weeping. I'm sure she was crying. But I'm also sure that she knew if she could just get somebody that could get to God, it was going to be well. She had great faith. Of all the people in your house, Mama, can I say Mama for you Michigan people? Do y'all say Mama? Please don't say you say Mommy. Amen. Okay. Mother, faith, fine. Of all the people in your house, Mother, all through the Scriptures, the mothers were the heart and the soul of that home. The daddy, he might have been the head, but he was muscle head. Most of his headship was through muscle. He led by going to work every day, buying the groceries, paying the rent or the house payment, supplying your needs, your children need, and mother took care of the children and raised children, and she had the heart of the home. Therefore, she represents the Holy Spirit of the home, and the Holy Spirit is loving, gentle, kind, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith. That's the Holy Spirit. And if that's the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in you, mother, you're the greatest Christian in that house. Father ain't even there. He's out in the field working, Rick. You could relate that story, couldn't you? He was out in the field working. Mama was there as the heart and the soul of that house. Mother, is it well with you, or would they have to come somewhere else to find you and drag you back down there to see your son dead? We make a lot of sacrifices. We ought to as Christians. Nobody wants to sacrifice anymore. But you know, I'd rather have a good mother at home than have a new car.
Amen.
I'd rather ride a bicycle to work and buy stuff and pay the bills. I've done it so mother could stay at home.
Amen.
I know that ain't popular preaching. And I know it's not going to get a lot of likes on Facebook. But the mother is the heart of that home, and you get a hard-hearted mother, and your home is going to be hard and no faith. Now that daddy, that father, he had faith too, but he was in his place doing what he was supposed to do. And she was in her place doing what she was supposed to do. And whether you believe it or not, the hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world. Our mothers have the greatest influence on us. I don't remember a lot about growing up. I mean, furniture. I don't know if we had good furniture or not. Probably not. I don't remember a lot about clothes. I know I wore a lot of hand-me-downs, and they were always too big in the waist and too short in the legs. I don't remember ever having any money. I remember having birthdays and mama would give me a quarter and say to go to the drugstore and get you a comic book. It's your birthday. I don't ever remember Rick having birthday cakes or parties. Do you? I don't remember a lot of things about growing up, but I do remember mother.
Amen.
I remember a lot about that. The greatest gift a mother can give to her family is to be a Christian.
Amen.
A woman of faith. Not mean and hard and fussing and complaining and pushing and shoving and dragging. No, but a woman of peace and faith and love and joy. And that woman can make that home into a heaven on earth. What about you, Father? Is it well? You know, a lot of men used to be, I grew up in the generation to where 10% of the births were outside of marriage. I'm one of them. I'm an illegitimate child. Don't know my father. But now, read the paper. Read the births in the paper. 90%, I'm not exaggerating that, I read it from some kind of poll. 90% of the children born now are born out of wedlock. The men that birthed them, helped birth them, are not even man enough to be a father. Shame. Shame on them. You go, hey, I'll tell you where you'll find a lot of them. Go out to the York County Detention Center. We used to call it the chain gang. And they won't support their children, and they ought to be in jail. But thank God for men that will stay with their children and marry the mother and be the head of the home. Amen. I'm not talking about the dictator. I'm talking about the one that takes responsibility. He gets up when he doesn't want to get up, and he goes to work when he doesn't want to go to work, and he pays bill he doesn't want to pay a bill, and he doesn't take a vacation when everybody else is taking a vacation, and he puts up with children sometimes who don't want to even be there, and he stays, and sometimes he puts up with wives that don't even want to be there, and he stays, and he stays, and he stays, because he knows that's what God wants, is for him to stay. People divorce too easily now. 50% of the marriages end in divorce. I'd say 50% of them never get married to start with. Somebody asked me one day, said, would you have a housewarming party for this couple? They visited church one time. I said, are they married? He said, no. I said, no. If they not got enough God in them to get married, why would I want to promote their house? It ain't going to stay. We're going to be giving them stuff. They're going to be selling it in a year or two. Don't even love each other enough. And woe be to the man who won't stand up and love his children and lead his children to Christ and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and keep them in church and do the right thing. But woe to that one that would just take off every time something a little wrong goes bad. You know, we got men down here. You got a pastor, you got a deacon, you got some men down here that, if you're a husband, you're having a hard time, we'll encourage you. And it will never be leave. You will never hear that answer, leave her. Never, not here. No. And ladies, unless he's hurting you and hitting you and abusing you, you'll never hear that answer here either. Father, is it well with you? You know, a lot of fathers, their children don't even know if they're saved or not. They never told them. How about, is it well with you, son? Or is it well with you, daughter? This boy had not only a loving mother, but he had a mother of faith. And he had a father, not only by name, but he had a father that would go out and work in the field so he'd have something to eat and something to wear and a house to live in. I bet that boy loved his mom and daddy. I bet he honored his mom and daddy. Boy, we live in a generation where people don't honor their parents. Shame. Shame on you. Shame on you. Matter of fact, it's the first commandment of promise. If you'll honor your father and mother, it'll be well with you and your days will be long on this earth. You want to live to be 99 like my mama? Honor your mama. Honor your daddy. You say, you don't know what they've done. I don't care. I don't know what you did either. I'm sure we could dishonor you in some way. They didn't cast you off. They didn't give you away. They didn't cuss you and beat you and all these things. You ought to honor them. And even if they did, you still ought to honor their position. You know, some in this room today wish we'd had a father. Come on, help me, fellas. Don't say amen.
Amen.
Let's have some Baptists in here. Amen. Hey, there's some in here, if we'd had a father, we'd honor him. The way kids are now, so disrespectful. You go talk to them, they say, nah, yeah. You want to know a word my kids when they were little never said to me? Unless I asked for that answer? No. No. No! I'm like blowing a cap. No! You're 5 years old, you told me no! I'm going to show you no. Hey, old man. Hey, old woman. By the way, your daddy ain't your old man and your mom ain't your old lady. It's your mother and your father. And look, if you want to have a well soul, if you want to be right with God and have the blessings of God, you better honor your father and your mother. I don't care if he's a crackhead and she's a drunk. You better honor him anyway, because that promise has no conditions on it of their being, but of your being.
Well, you don't know how sorry my daddy was. I know he was your daddy. I'm not saying you got to give him money or take do anything like that, but you can honor him and say, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes. Hey, look at your mama and say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. By the way, it goes to grandparents too. How is it, daughter? How is it, son? I'm probably preaching to the wrong crowd. They're sitting in there. Every one of them needs a whooping. By the way, if you're talking to me, I'm not your rev, and I'm not your preach. I'm your pastor. You can call me Brother Ron. You can call me pastor. You can call me preacher. But don't ever look at me and say, yeah, rev. I might rev you up. By the way, the condition when you bring your children to join this church is that your church gets to help you raise your children right. Amen. If they come running around here, I might whop them one time. I remember I had a young preacher helping me one time. He had a little old boy, wild. I mean, that boy was wild. And he'd run through the church and run through the church and run. And I'd say, boy, stop running in the church. You ought to respect this place. This ain't a place to play. This is a place to be honorable and reverent toward God. And he'd just look at me and take off running. So one day he come running by and I was standing at the pulpit. And there wasn't nobody there but me and him and his daddy. His daddy was back there doing something. He come running by and I grabbed him and I sat down. I would sit down but my back hurts. But I sat down. And I whipped him. And I looked back there. He said, I'm going to tell my daddy. I said, there he is right there. Go tell him. His daddy turned around. He still didn't listen to me. And God whipped him. He come running through there one day. There were these big steel poles in the auditorium. And he cut that cord and run right square face into that steel pole. He never ran in church again. Knocked him out flat on his back. Boing! I did. I laughed at him. And I did not feel bad about it at all. Amen. Hey, just because you turn 40 don't mean you can dishonor your parents either. Just because you turn 50 doesn't mean you can dishonor your parents. As long as they live, they deserve your honor. And if you want it to be well with your soul, you better honor your parents. It is a command. It's not a request. If you want the blessings that go with that, Brother Rick, we have to obey it. Didn't say he had to feel like it. You do a lot of things you don't feel like doing. Well, I just don't feel compelled. I don't feel the affection. Doesn't say anything about affection. It says honor. Right. Hey, you'd honor a king. You don't love him. We got a big mouth New York Yankee for a president. And I like him. But if he come in here today, I wouldn't call him Prez. And I wouldn't call him Don. I'd say, Mr. President, come up here. Sit right here. We want to honor you today. You're the president of the greatest nation on planet Earth. God puts them in. He takes them out. God puts you there. Come up here. Let me preach to you a little bit. You need some help anyway. You don't know nothing about the Bible. I believe he's where he ought to be, but he doesn't know anything about the Bible. He needs to get somebody besides that hussy woman that he's taking advice from, that woman evangelist. Enough said on that. Get back on the subject, preacher. You're to honor your father and your mother. Is it well with our souls today? You love Jesus. You ought to. Thank God. Hey, if you're going to have eternal life, you're going to have to honor him. Now look here. I'm going to say this, and I know some of you ain't going to like it, so look at me. Look up here. Wake Brother Danny up. Have him looking at me. All right. Wake that boy up in the sound room. I want him to hear this. Danny's asleep. I'm just teasing. Honor does not mean throwing off all traditions. It does not mean throwing off all they've taught you. It means keeping those traditions and keeping what they've taught you. Amen. Now, when I come to church, I come to honor Jesus Christ. Church is not about me. It's about Him. By the way, it's not about you either. And somebody said they'll start a new church here in town. They were going to call it our church. It ain't going to work. It ain't our church, it's His church. Amen? Amen. We come to honor Him. Amen? I ain't come dragging here this morning with half my clothes on and not washed, hadn't combed my hair. A lot of preachers nowadays look like they comb their hair with a brick. Awful. Hey, you got up in choir today. You didn't get up there and look like you were singing at the NASCAR. You got up there and look like you were singing to honor Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You fellas took up the offering. You didn't come down here looking like you was going to take up a bucket of offering down at the racetrack. No, sir. You looked like you was at the house of God and you was going to honor God in your giving. Come on, help me here. You sang up there. You didn't sing like you was down at the Dewdrop Inn. And you didn't look like you was at the Dewdrop Inn. Or the crowbar or the bar crow or whatever else it is now. Come on, help me. What was that other one they used to have? I think still over at that country bar on Riverview Road or something. Long Branch, we know where y'all been. The rest of us don't even know the name of it. This ain't the Long Branch, amen? We come to honor Him. We honor Him. And whatsoever you do, you're supposed to honor Him. Amen? He ain't the old man upstairs. You and Jesus ain't got a thing going. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And we're to honor Him and lift Him up. And unless you have a relationship like that with Him, you're not going to have the blessings of God. He's my heavenly Father. He adopted me when no other father would have me. He lifted me up. Hey, He established my going forth. He put me on the solid rock. I'm not on those slippery places. I'm not in that miry clay. And I'm going to honor Him and praise Him for that. As long as we do that, we can say, it is well. He'll bless you. He'll bless you in ways you wasn't even looking for. And you honor Him, and guess what? He'll honor you. Acts 16:31. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You honor Him. Now how do you honor Him? Here's how you honor Him. By believing on Him with all your heart. You're saying, Lord, you're not a liar. You're not a fake. You're not a figment of history's imagination. You are Jesus Christ, the virgin born Son of God, who lived a sinless life I can't live and died in the sinner's place, took our sins on you on that tree and rose from the dead that third day to prove God had accepted the sacrifice. And now I have hope. I can have peace in my heart. I can have victory in Jesus. I don't have to live a defeated life. I don't have to be like the rest of the world. I can be a child of the King. Amen. You do that, boy, honor Him that way, and you can walk around all day long and say, it is well with my soul. And people say, we just lost your job. Well, so what? It is well with my soul. And they'll say, but wait a minute, your wife left with you. Say, but it is well with my soul. Wait a minute, your children's turned their back on you. Yeah, but it is well with my soul. But wait a minute, you've lost all your bank account. Yeah, but it is well with my soul. But wait a minute, everybody hates your guts. They think you're crazy. Don't matter. It is well with my soul. I have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, and I have the faith that nothing can come to me except through Him first. So it is well. But you got cancer. It is well. But they had to open up your heart. They took your husband and cut him open, took his heart out of his chest and laid it up on the table and worked on it. But the whole time you could say, but it is well. That's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that woman saw that boy dead. She did not see him alive, but she had hope that God, the same God that gave him, would raise him up again. How is it with you? Is it well today? Or do you have sin in your life that's hindering you? Get it out. Turn away from it. Ask Him to forgive you.
Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you're not well. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're sin sick. You need a Savior. You need a great physician. Why don't you come get saved? Let's stand.